Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and as of right now, at the time of this recording, Kendra is still out on maternity leave, so y'all keep her in your prayers still. Even as you're hearing this, she might be back at work then, but as they're getting used to being a family of four, so they have two little girls now, so we're excited for them. And so she is still not in studio as of the time of this recording, but I do have a special guest that I'll get to in just a second. If you're listening in right now, you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And we are a podcast and radio show and a very, very small ministry that focuses on couples struggling with infertility and miscarriage. And if you've been a listener for a while, we've covered many, many topics on from child loss to adoption, foster care, singleness, just how families look so different, but how those hard times and wonderful times are what the Lord uses to grow us closer to Him and hopefully grow us closer to each other. So I want to introduce y'all. If you're new to the program, you've probably never heard his voice before, but if you've been listening for a while, you've heard Will, my hubby, on before. Hey, Will.
Hey.
Kendra always goes into this wonderful spill about Eric, and he's the most handsome and godly and awesome man that I've ever met before, and you're all those things too.
So. I know what you think about me. That's all right.
But I am glad to have you on. I kind of last minute pulled you in. I was like, hey, is there any way you'd be able to come on the show in 2 days?
Yeah, and it's been a while. So
it has been a while. The last time you came on was last year, 2023, and we talked about John Micah and shared his story.
Yeah,
so it was a heavy subject to talk
about.
Yeah,
for sure.
But today we talked about you coming on because recently you've had a guy reach out to you about kind of being a mentor type deal. He didn't feel like he had many people to talk to from a guy standpoint of walking through infertility. And I don't know, we're not going to share much of their story, but they're currently walking through infertility and, you know, trying to make decisions about foster care and adoption, things like that. And just dealing with all the questions that anyone that has walked through that deals with of why, and I don't understand, and what are we supposed to do? And so have you on here today to kind of just to share about that, because he mentioned he had listened to Hannah's Heart, but he would really like to hear more of a guy's perspective. And we're like, it has been a very long time since we've had a guy on to share about a guy's point of view dealing with those kind of subjects.
Yeah. He I got to talk with him, I guess it was a few weeks ago. As he was talking with me, and really as I've talked to other guys too, I love to hear, one of the main reasons why they, reach out, is because they want to be there for their wife.
Yeah.
And man, I always tell them, man, that's the number one thing, because we are here for her, because they're, infertility, even though it is a husband and a wife, it is different for each, we get to be, that foundation, stronghold, for y'all.
Right.
And so, but yeah, there's, as I've talked with some guys, I'm just thinking about how I remember being where they were. We're just wanting to kind of get into, you know, how I would encourage them and how the things that
what are some of the things that you would have even struggled with as we walked through infertility. And now, I mean, I feel like infertility, me and Kendra have shared how, like, just because you have a baby doesn't mean that ends. You know, it still affects you. Like, the way that I would say it affects me still is, like, my children I don't have friends with kids our age now, you know. And so when we go on play dates still, they have children much older than what we do. And so our kids don't necessarily mesh and play well, you know, that kind of thing. So that's still how you can see infertility affecting you later. But, you know, along with sharing about how when you lose a baby or miscarriage and how a husband has to deal with that a whole lot different than the wife does.
Yeah. Also, too, I think about, for us, whenever we dated, I guess, 8 years or so before we got married, and you were always, we talked about foster care then.
Yeah.
You know, and that was on your heart. And I knew that, and I was like, I'm on board with that. Like, I would love to do that. But in Will's head, Will's plan, it was, you know, okay, we'll have our own kids first, though.
Right.
Maybe at least one, maybe two, you know, and then we'll, and then we start to struggle to have our own. Looking back, it was, I don't know if there was ever like a light bulb moment, but I just know eventually through constant prayer, you know, God, what I always love telling people is, and I told the folks whenever we were applying for foster care that, you know, me and Ann, we have love to give, you know, and we're ready to give it. That's what I realized, you know, that was the start of kind of letting go of my plan to have our family.
Right.
You know, and there's, different avenues, as we know, foster care, adoption. It can be difficult, to let go. And especially as a husband, and then as thinking of yourself as a future dad, you do want to have that plan as the leader of the household, you know, as the provider, you know, you feel that responsibility. I feel like I learned sometimes slowly but surely that I don't have to be the one to figure all that stuff out. I can be the one to lean on our Heavenly Father. Man, when we can really lean into Him, that really can be true freedom there. Because it's so weighing whenever there's those times that I'm trying to figure it all out.
Right.
And I think in those times too, I think you feel that.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Because I feel like at those times whenever you were trying, I don't know if you would say taking control or just like being the one to want to figure all things out, that would affect us and how we would make decisions and affect us, you know, getting along, things like that. And when you're walking through infertility or miscarriage, those kind of things, you're kind of stressed all the time if you let yourself be, you know, if you don't lay those worries and lay those anxieties down at the feet of Jesus. You have to choose to do that every day, sometimes multiple times a day, you know, and then going to another doctor's appointment where you get bad news or getting, you know, another negative pregnancy test again this month, you know, those are all things that really could separate a husband and wife a whole lot if you let them, you know.
Yeah.
And so you had to choose, you know, to realize, like, I'm not going to be able to fix this. You always say you're a fixer, and I feel like a lot of husbands, you know, want to do that. They want to be the fixer of the family, and, you know, this is a big fix, you know, and so when you're not able to do that and you're not able to just give your wife what she's wanting and desiring, but you also, I think one of the things that I had trouble understanding, it was, as we were walking through infertility, was like, it didn't seem like it bothered you as much. I just remember thinking, like, you don't seem sad about this. Like, I don't want to be the only one here desiring a baby. And me, I remember thinking, like, am I crazy for thinking that I want a baby this bad? Like, but you handled it differently. What would you say about that?
I think I remember you feeling that way whenever I felt like I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know? And so I feel like I learned, you tell me, but even if it was just reiterating your sadness or your anger, you know, I would just, whatever you were mad or sad about, I would just verbalize, that makes me sad too, or that makes me angry, you know. And it did, because, like you're saying, fixer, I would think that you would tell me these things and I was supposed to make it better.
Right.
You know, and I think over time, just, it was, you just wanted to know I was with you.
Right.
You know, and so it might have taken me longer than I wish.
Well, I think it took us both a little while to even learn. Like, I think I ended up literally having to say that one time, and I had never even been able to verbalize, like, I don't expect you to do anything. Sure. I just need to know this bothers you too.
Yeah,
you know, just something like that. Of like, that's
happened.
All I need to know is that I'm not over here having no reason to cry. You know, because I'm not a crier. I wouldn't say so at some points.
More now, probably.
Yeah. But I remember feeling like that was a weakness, and like I didn't want to look weak, especially, and for some reason, in front of you. I didn't want that to seem like I couldn't handle this. And that was something that I feel like I had to finally come to grips with, was like, the Lord, what does it say in Scripture? Like, He needs us to be weak, because that's when He is strong in us, right? And so I finally had to come to grips with, like, it's okay if I look weak. Like, it's okay. It's okay if I look vulnerable. Like, dealing with all the mess, I'm going to call it mess, that you have to deal with infertility and doctor's appointments and all that awkward stuff that is not natural, will really bring your vulnerabilities out, I feel like, in each other. Because you don't want to experience that with anyone else. And so it's kind of something that you have to laugh at years later. But as you're walking through it, it feels terrible.
Yeah. And I am also thinking about, we were talking the other day about John Micah, but then also thinking about infertility, about just sitting in our sadness.
Yeah.
In our anger, and I think you saying, you know, that you weren't supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be strong or something, you know, but yeah, when Paul's saying, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, you know, I'm also hearing him say that he's allowing himself to be weak, himself to sit here and say, oh my, like, just, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
And I don't, I guess I would say the societal view of that, is society would say that's wrong. You know, like, you're not supposed to show weakness. You're not supposed, man up.
Everything's supposed to look good. And,
But that's not what the Bible says, and it's not what we have to do.
Right.
We don't have to man up all the time, you know. We don't have to get over it.
Right. I think we see that in scripture too. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. Why is that its own verse? Because I think it's pretty important to see that he did. And like, that's a huge statement. Jesus wept. Yep. And so I feel like, yeah, we definitely have to make room for that as we're walking through infertility, miscarriage, child loss. It's okay to show that we're not okay. Because at times we're just not. And so as a man, is that hard to do? Is it hard to say that I'm not okay?
I think so. I'm thinking about the movies, the Avengers, and we all want to be a hero.
Yeah.
You know, a guy grows up and he wants to be a hero in one way or the other. And eventually, yeah, you fall in love with a girl and you want to be their hero. And I guess you want to be their Avenger, you know. But we don't have to be God. God is our Avenger, you know. He is the one who will. Man, I was reading a devotion this morning. You know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Man, thank goodness that his thoughts are much higher than mine, because mine are so small and earthly.
Yeah.
And if I can say this now, and it's, I don't, you know, thinking back before we had our own kids, it would be hard to hear, but his ways is better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is hard to hear. Because when you're desiring a baby, or, you know, just one positive pregnancy test, or, you know, things like that, we know that it's holy to desire a baby. God made us to do that. So when it's not happening, that does sound pretty hard.
And I think I would say it is. I think one thing that God always reminds me, I feel like, to encourage the guys when I talk with them is not giving up. Because even as we were walking through that, I would hear that, you know, God, and believe that God's way is better, even though I didn't feel it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I always, and this is something that I guess I feel like God reminds me of daily, of perseverance, of not quitting, you know, because that's what Satan wants us to do.
Yeah.
He wants us to quit. He wants us to quit trying.
Right.
And when we don't feel good, when we don't feel, or when we do feel sad, angry, he wants us to give up, you know, and I think that's like his ultimate weapon.
Yeah.
Because scripture says perseverance produces hope. Yep. Testing of our faith produces perseverance, and perseverance hope, and hope character. Satan doesn't want us to experience that, you know, but God does. And so we can lean on that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's good what you said of, you know, God is good even when he doesn't feel good. And I feel like with John Micah, if people don't know our story, John Micah, we had a baby at 26 weeks last year, and he lived on earth for 27 minutes. And so, that doesn't feel good. As we're getting to the holidays, at the time of this recording, we're going into the Christmas season, and it doesn't feel good already. You know, decorating the Christmas tree, hanging up his stocking, you know, like, it doesn't feel good again. And yeah, but we do have to continue. You know, I think I was talking to a friend about it yesterday, just to still know and to fully accept that God is still good, even though my circumstances don't feel good.
That's right.
Okay, so our sweet producer, he wrote us a question. He said, stress on marriage, ? How have you stayed strong together? Silence.
no, I think about when the more I noticed we individually would lean on God, we would then lean on each other.
Yeah, it's crazy how that kind of pulls you together
yes.
when you're desiring yes. the Lord more individually.
Yes.
How the Lord then pulls that desire for each other.
And I think there was, yeah, no me fixing things for you, no you fixing things for me. It was being there for each other, praying for each other, with each other, and again, not giving up because, I mean, oof, yeah.
Well, and one thing I feel like we had to learn that we couldn't take it all too seriously, even though it is all very serious, it is all very sad, it can be all consuming. Mm-hmm. And so as a marriage is hard anyway when you're just dealing with like learning to live with each other still and work schedules and things like that.
Yeah.
But we had to learn that like, okay, as we go to this doctor's appointment out of town because we had to go a little ways out of town, we made a date about it.
Yep.
There was a place to go for a walk, so we would
sure.
grab a coffee and go on a
yeah.
walk. You know, different. We would do fun things with our puppies. We would do fun things with our friends' kids, you know. And so
sure.
Our friends' kids didn't fix that desire for our own children, but it was fun getting to take them. We would take them to the mall, let them
yeah.
come over to our house. We kept toys for them at our house. And so now on the other side of it, and now we're so tired and so, so thankful for our children. I mean, really, really.
Yeah.
All serious jokes aside, we're very thankful.
Yeah.
But we are tired. And so now we're just having a conversation. Sometimes it's like you have to schedule that conversation or like turn the TV on for them.
This is really why we're here today. So we get to talk to each other.
This is the most we've talked in weeks. so yeah, challenges in life look so different. There's hard parts of everything. Obviously, we would not wish infertility, miscarriage, especially child loss on anyone at all. But if you let the Lord lead you, You do end up seeing, I say that, I don't see why John Micah had to die. I will never be able to understand that this side of heaven. But you can see how God can use infertility to get you to the next phase of life, I guess is a way to say it.
Yeah.
If you allow him to, you know, change your heart daily to be okay with the Lord changing your heart to what he mm-hmm. desires for you. And that's a really scary place to be. I remember really, really wanting to hold on to that. But when I finally surrendered that to the Lord and like, I want what you want, God, like I can honestly say that. I kid you not, that's when miracles started happening. Would you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that's all he wants to hear. And he knows our heart.
Right. It's not just something to say. It is.
Well, and we don't have to. And I think I tend to want to say it the right way and figure out in my mind, like, and God's like, I just want your heart.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Would you take just a minute and pray for the guys maybe listening to this episode?
Sure. Yeah. Dear God, we do come to you, and I just want to lift up all my brothers in Christ that are wanting and desiring to just lead their wives, love their wives, be there for their wives as they're walking through difficult days. Father, give them the strength mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally to persevere and not give up. We love you and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
I'm so glad
I'll have
I got
to have you back again sooner than later.
Yes.
Then it was good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too.
But I hope this episode was encouraging and maybe uplifting in a way. And I hope it gets around to some guys out there. We'll have to have you and Eric back on too. Eric,
sure.
That was a fun episode for y'all.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can look back a few years ago now to when Will and Eric were on, and that was a fun episode, and we were also still kind of closer to infertility at that point, talking about it then. So I encourage you to go way back and find some of those episodes with our boys.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much for listening in on today's episode on Hannah's Heart, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.